Good morning. We're doing Pirkei Avot with Rabbeinu Yonah. Arba midot benotanei tzedakah. Four types of people who give tzedakah, who give charity. Harotze sheiten velo yitenu acherim. You have a person who wants to donate, but he doesn't want anyone else to donate. Eino ra'am shel acherim. So he's got a bad eye when it comes to others. Yitenu acherim vehu lo yiten. Then you have someone. He wants everyone else to donate to tzedakah. He doesn't want to give.
He expects people to donate?
He wants others to donate. He's going to... So he has a bad eye when it comes to his own. Then you have someone who wants to give, and he also wants others to give. That's a chassid. Then you have lo yiten ve lo yitenu acherim. You have someone he doesn't want to give, and he also doesn't want anyone else to give. That's a rasha, says the Mishnah. Explains Rabbeinu Yonah. When a person wants to give but doesn't want anyone else to give, so if that's what he wants, then what he wants is all the benefit to himself, all the praise to himself, and it's obvious that he does not want the good outcome. What interests him is not what's good for humanity. Because if that were what interested him, then he'd want everyone else to give as well. But when he wants to give himself, so then he only wants the honor, he wants the benefits to himself. So that's the first type of person. Then you have a person who wants other people to give, but he doesn't want to give. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, "In lo midat hanedivut ve'inenu vatran b'shelo." So he's a person who doesn't... He doesn't have the trait of generosity, and he is a person who doesn't give in on his own. So the Mishnah calls him Eino Ra'a B'Shelo. He has a bad eye when it comes to himself, to his own possessions, because he's not generous with his stuff. He's not interested in giving. So that's the second type of person. Yiten miitnu acherim, then you have a person who wants to give and wants others to give. He's a chassid. Explains Rabbeinu Yonah, chassid libo chafetz b'tzedakah. The chassid wants charity, v'notna b'vatranut, and he gives it in a generous way. V'alav ne'emar yish mefazer v'nosaf od. The pasuk describes a person who scatters his wealth. Shenotenet shelo b'pizur v'lo b'tzimtzum. He gives his and his forthcoming, and he's not exacting. You know, some people, when they give it down to the penny, and then some people are large, they give. That's what the pasuk describes. Yesh mefazer, there's a person who scatters his wealth, v'nosaf od, and he discovers that Hashem gave him even more wealth. The pasuk continues and says, v'chosech miyosher, and someone who thinks he's going to save by veering off the honest path, ach lemachso, he will find himself only lacking. Ne'emar ala rasha, that's talking about the wicked person. Shein retzono b'tzedakah lo mishelo v'lo mishel acherim. Rasha thinks, let me have what's mine, let him have what's his. Let's, no one should give anyone. So that who chosech miyosher v'choshev ki mipnei shelo yiten b'tzedakah yasof mamon. A person thinks that if he doesn't give charity, then he'll gather greater wealth. Ve'ach lemachso tiyelo. Ultimately, it will only harm him. Hakilut ahi, that stinginess will ultimately hurt himself. Ve'le'av, and it'll hurt his friends. Asher chosech miyosher kamo. His friends are going to be like-minded people. They all stingy people. So that's a pretty lousy group of people to be with. Why is he called wicked? Because he doesn't want to give. He doesn't want anyone else to give. Nimtza shiyotze min amida benonit klapei hakatzah acharon shel achzariyut shehi midat haresha. This is a person who is off the balanced path, but he's gone to the extreme where... This is already cruel, that a person doesn't want to give and doesn't want anyone else to give. So, I've met people like this. You know, every type that the Mishnah describes, I've seen. You have people who want to give and no one else should give. And then you have people who they're happy for other people to give, but they won't give a penny. And then you have people who they want to give and they want others to give. Are really people like that. And then there are people who are really like this, the end of the Mishnah. They don't want to give and they don't want anyone else to give. And they come with a theory that, you know, everyone should take care of themselves. And the fact that there are some people who can't, who are weaker or who are disadvantaged. So that's what Rabbeinu Yonah writes. This is ultimately cruelty. Yeah.
If someone comes to you and says, like, I want to give $1 million for everybody, but I don't want anyone else to give, should you accept, or?
How much do you need? Will $1 million cover your budget?
Like, should you accept this condition of, like, I want to be the only one giving? Like, I want to be the only one.
Usually we accept it, but we try to channel it. Meaning, let's say you have an organization and someone comes to you and says, I want to give you $1 million, but I don't want anyone else to give. This should be under the title Levi Yitzchak, no one else. Okay? Levi Yitzchak. So we say, fine, let's create a program called the Levi Yitzchak Assistance to the Elderly. Or the Levi Yitzchak Assistance to the community of Be'er Sheva. And let's channel your funds there. So then what that's how we work with this type of situation. We say, fine, let's create your baby. So in that way, we allow the person to feel like they're supporting this. And the advantage of this, psychologically, is that when a person feels like they're supporting X, then when suddenly their program needs a new computer, or their program needs a renovation, so then they're more apt to give. So there's an angle where we do try to do this. But ideally, a person should want to give and want others to give. And that should be the type of people we try to be. There was a family, two families, that both were very well to do. And they both approached life this way, that they won't give, no one else should give, and each person should manage, you know, for themselves. And the first one, so their children developed this attitude too. So the children ultimately, one ended up in prison. The other one ended up, each one in their own destruction. But the other one overdosed. The third one kept running around looking for the prettiest spouse, and today they're in their 60s, still single, because this attitude of I just got to take care of myself, it's ultimately self-defeating and self-destructing. It's not only harmful to society, it's harmful to the person themselves. So the parents, who were the beginners of this attitude, ultimately saw their children pursuing this attitude too. Why should I work on helping anyone else? And so they end up seeing the main argument in the family is who should be sitting in prison, their son or their grandson? Who was the, you know, they cheated so many people. The question is who should take the brunt of the blame? So the grandparents merit seeing children and grandchildren who take up their path and go with it. And then what happens with all their wealth? The grandparents are multimillionaires, but their kids are leading destructive lives. The second family, parents also led this same type of life. They wouldn't donate. They wouldn't help anyone. Now, after the Holocaust, people really needed help. But they went with this attitude. No one should give. Everyone should take care of themselves. Work for yourself. And then, years later, when their children were intermarrying and their grandchildren were intermarrying, they started begging people, we will fund the programming, educate our children, educate our grandchildren, talk to them, they shouldn't intermarry. So suddenly they showed up and they were funding everything under the sun, but it was too late. They already lost. Their children just went on with the same attitude of, why? Why should I worry for anyone else? If a person's ultimately only worried for themselves, and if that's the attitude, so then there are many decisions a person can make out of that attitude. The Mishnah tells us that this isn't a good attitude. The Mishnah goes so far as to call it rasha, a wicked person. Rabbi Yonah says it's a chazariyut. The other type of person, which again the Mishnah describes, is sounds far-fetched, but again, once you meet it, you start realizing this exists. There are people who are very, very tough about their own money. They're very okay with other people donating. But their own money, it's like, why are you talking to me? I remember once there was a very big need for the poor. So one of the local rabbanim went to meet with one of the wealthiest people. He sits with this person, he comes to his house. I know that there's a Rolls Royce in the garage. On the outside, you know, there are, I don't know what, fleet of fancy cars. And then the man sits and talks to the rabbi for an hour and a half. And then he tells him, you know how tough it is. I appreciate the plight of the poor, and it's so wonderful what you guys are doing. Times are so tough. And at the end of the hour and a half, the man goes and brings the rabbi an envelope. When the rabbi leaves, there's a quarter in the envelope. The guy gave a quarter. Right? And the guy was tough times. It's really, really tough. Yeah, really, really tough. We see this. People who are all for other people giving, but on their own, they're not willing to give. The Mishnah says, "Eino ra'a b'shel acharim." They look badly. Eino ra'a b'shel atzmo. They're really looking badly at their own wealth, and they don't realize it. They don't realize it. One of the things that really hurts is you see these people. They're hoarding wealth. Everyone else should give, and they're not willing to give. And then they pass on. And their children don't necessarily go in their footsteps, but you look at it and you say, what were they doing their whole life? Meaning, so they died and they left behind, you know, millions of dollars. So what? That's the accomplishment a person has in their life. That they have a ton of money to leave their children and grandchildren. I don't know. You think about it. These people, they could have taken for themselves. They thought they were keeping for themselves the money. They could have taken for themselves the merits. And the Mishnah has an interesting term. The Mishnah says, "Eino ra'a b'shelo." He looks in a bad way at his own wealth, meaning they're really hurting themselves. So they work so hard. I knew a couple like this. To the day they died, they worked to the bone. They worked really, really hard. Their whole life they were working. And their whole life, their attitude was, don't ask me to help anyone. Right? Everyone else could help. They didn't want to help. So they worked really hard, and by the time they passed away, they really left behind millions for the kids, because all they did was work hard, literally till the day they died. But what they accomplished, you know, their kids made their own wealth, and their kids were good people, are good people. And the parents, you feel bad for these people. They go to their world, and what merits are they taking with them? Turns out that not each, but many of their kids have their own wealth. Okay, so when you have 5 million, now you have 6. Okay, big deal. So the parents left them another million. But had they done tzedakah with it, they could have built generations when people use their money to help humanity. So then they create something that's eternal. Money comes and money goes. But when you build families, when you help people establish themselves, so that's when you have an accomplishment you take with you forever. These four types of people, the Mishnah tells us, when I used to learn it in my youth, I thought this was an exaggeration. And then over time, I started seeing people who are exactly like this. The Rabbeinu Yonah continues and says, "V'odamar Shlomo HaMelech Alav HaShalom, Nefesh Biracha Shenoten HaTzedaka De'ain Yafa Tedushan." Shlomo HaMelech says, "Nefesh Biracha," when a person's soul is a soul that emits blessing, that he not only gives, but he gives with a positive desire. He wants the other person to do well. So that's Tedushan. That soul will be blessed. I remember maybe 8 years ago, there was a community in Yad Binyamin that was looking for a rabbi. So I applied for the position, and I came to be interviewed. Now, I didn't know anything or anyone in Yad Binyamin, except for one person, Rabbi Aaron Alevi. So I called him up, I asked him for directions, and he said, "Don't worry, we'll help you out." So it's a hot summery day, and I showed up by the bus, and there he was at the bus stop waiting for me. I thanked him, and then I asked him, "Okay, where do I go now for the interview?" He said, "You're early. You got 25 minutes to the interview." I said, "I know, but I didn't want to be late." So he says to me, no, first you come to us." He brought me home. He gave me fruits and vegetables, and gave me a full, took care of me like I just landed from the road. And then he accompanied me all the way there. I walked into the interview. I remember till today, he could have just given me directions. He could have been nice and waited for me at the bus stop and then walked me to the place. No, he brought me home. He made sure I was refreshed so that I walked into the interview not like a shmata that just walked off a bus, but rather I walked in refreshed. Till today, I look back at that and I say, the man took an hour out of his life so that nefesh biracha, he gave above and beyond. Again, someone asks you for directions and you say, "No, come to my house, have something to eat, have something to drink, walk into the interview refreshed." It was a difference of night and day. You walk through Samri day. I don't know if you guys have ever been to Yad Binyamin. It's half a desert there. So you walk 10 minutes in that heat and you walk into an interview. So you're walking like you walk through the desert. You come in from someone's air-conditioned home where they gave you a nice meal and you walk in refreshed. You walk in like a different human being. Shlomo HaMelech said, "Nefesh biracha," when a person wants to give, his soul is a soul of blessing to Dushan. He should be blessed and he should be replenished. And then the pasuk says, "Aval amarveh, hu nadiv biyoter shenotna b'shipo v'pizur v'hu moreh l'acharim hu named lehem liten tzedakah." Marveh, someone who satiates others. That's a person who says, "I want to give. I'm going to teach others how to give." Kenedivut amarveh kol kach gedola shemoreh l'acharim hu melamed otan sheitnu tzedakah v'zeo hachasid sherotzeh liten mitnu acharim. The continuation of this says, Rabbeinu Yonah, is when a person wants to give so much, it's not only they're giving, they're encouraging other people to give. And that's the opposite extreme. We said a person can go to the extreme where they say, "I don't give, I don't want anyone else to give. Each should be on their own." But then there's a level of kindness where a person gives and they want others to give, so then they've gone to the opposite extreme. That's what our sages said about Kalba Savua. Why was he called Kalba Savua? Even dogs would come to Kalba Savua's house, and they'd leave satiated. Maybe Kalba Savua gave them the bones. Now this is interesting, because that's not the way our Gemara says it. Our Gemara says if you walk in hungry like a dog, you walk out satiated. Rabbeinu Yonah, I guess, had a different version in the Gemara. He says even the dogs would walk away satiated from his home. ואם הכלבים ככה, ראה מה עשה לבני אדם העניים. If that's how he treated dogs, you could only imagine how well he treated the poor. לכן אמר ישעיה, and that's what Isaiah says, ונדיב נדיבות יעץ, והוא על נדיבות יקום. כלומר, יועץ בעצמו ליתן וגם הוא על נדיבות יקום, על נדבות של אחרים שאומר להם לעשות כמוהו. A person who is so generous that he not only plans how he will give, but he also tries to get others to give, and that's why Rabbeinu Yonah says that's the pious person in our Mishnah, that he's interested in everyone partaking of the giving process.